This is your weekly checkup with Howard Feldman and Dr. Anton Myberg, where medical innovation meets human understanding.
You've definitely heard the word a lot lately. It's being spoken about in terms of weight loss, fitness, I don't know, skin care, recovery, all sorts of things. Some are saying it's the next frontier of medicine. Others are saying, well, maybe they're being overhyped, misunderstood, and in some case, even misused. So what exactly are peptides? Are they a breakthrough, or are they just another buzzword?
Very good
evening to you, me, and Dr. Anton Myberg. We want to understand all the sudden explosion legal. And Dr. Anton Myberg, good evening. Hope you're well.
This is one of my favorite topics to chat on at the moment. We're doing quite a lot of research on them, a few courses on them, and I'm really enjoying the journey that I'm going on with these peptides at the moment.
In fact, I was privileged to be on a webinar that you hosted for close to 2,000 doctors where you were educating them on peptides. I understood probably about 40%. So we're going to dumb this down for people like me and understand what this is all about. This is a pre-record. You can send your questions in and your comments in to 061-895-1019. We'll do our darndest to get back to you at some point, but please understand that it is not live. We are pre-recording this, and we'll come back to you on these on some of the questions. Right, let's start at the beginning. What exactly is a peptide?
So peptides are short chains of amino acids that serve as the building blocks for proteins in your body. Proteins are typically made of 50 or more amino acids, while peptides are much smaller. Usually they contain between 2 and 50 amino acids or bonds in your body. Now, they functionally act as signaling molecules or messengers within the biological systems in your body. They are crucial for collagen production, for tissue repair, and hormone regulation. And they're commonly used in anti-aging, skincare, and therapeutic supplements for muscle repair. They work to regulate the communication network in your body.
Okay. So are they natural or are they synthetic?
Well, they can actually be both natural and synthetic. They, as we said, they're essentially short chains of amino acids. They are the building blocks of your proteins. So they exist naturally in all living organisms, but they're also widely manufactured for medical and supplemental use. The natural occurring peptides we find in the body, where they act as vital signaling molecules and in various food sources, are things like insulin, which regulates your blood sugar, or oxytocin, and things like vasopressin, which manages water retention. From a dietary point of view, they can be found in meat or fish or beans or lentils. When you look at the synthetic peptides, these are created in laboratories to mimic or enhance the function of the natural ones. They are now regarded as a cornerstone of the future of medicine. So you get the pharmaceutical drugs, like we all know about, the GLP-1 receptors like semaglutide or Ozempic or tirzepatide, Mounjaro, or the newest one, retatrutide. They also can be found in supplements and cosmetics with pure collagen peptides. And biotechnologically, they use solid phase peptide synthesis in yeast or bacteria in factories to produce large quantities for research.
In other words, the difference between a peptide and a medical or pharmaceutical, typical pharmaceutical drug, is a peptide is something that encourages your body to produce what it should be producing. Is that simplistic?
So what the peptide does is it signals the active peptides in your body to start working again. In other words, as one gets older, as one gets more stressed, as one gets more fatigued, these peptides dampen down. And by introducing the exogenous peptides, the injections or the sprays or the tablets, you are basically lighting the fuel for the fire for those peptides to reignite.
Okay. So, and why are they so popular now? Why a year ago or 2 years say 2 years ago, I would never have heard the word peptide.
So they're being marketed as highly, highly natural tools for weight loss, anti-aging, muscle recovery. Their fame is driven by a combination of pharmaceutical breakthroughs and massive social media biohacking, TikTok, Instagram, all these type of things. And biohacking is essentially, it's a do-it-yourself approach to biology, and that can be something like intermittent fasting or sleep optimization or tracking data with different mechanisms. But when we look at the role they're playing in, for instance, weight loss, we call it the Ozempic effect. These are your GLP-1 receptor agonists, and they've been normalized to actually give people injections by these lower the psychological barrier for people to self-inject themselves with these new medications because they've shown to have such a dramatic effect on people. There has been proof of concept. We see that they do work, the GLP-1s. And then also you get your celebrity and your influencer endorsements, guys like Joe Rogan, Jennifer Aniston, Gwyneth Paltrow, all these people, Kennedy, all these people who promote the use of stacking or using of TikToks, as well as people that promote them as natural or body-aligned medication. And then, of course, many peptides are promoted through the gray market.
Okay, so we're going to come back. We're going to come back to you. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your weekly checkup with me and Dr. Anton Myberg. This evening, we're talking peptides. Welcome back. I'm Howard Feldman. In studio with me is Dr. Anton Myberg. And tonight we're talking about peptides. Before we go on to the different uses, the most common peptides that people are using right now, can you just explain the difference between hormones or steroids? And just on that note, I heard today that they are changing the Strait of Hormuz to the Strait of Hormones because it's open and then it's closed and then it changes its mind and then anyway, it doesn't matter.
Bad
And
joke.
a
Bad, bad joke.
bad
Bad,
one
bad.
at that. Now,
Okay.
where were we?
So we're discussing the differences between peptides from hormones or steroids. Now, from a pharmacological standpoint, they're completely different. Steroids act via hormonal pathways, with which we call direct anabolic effects, but most peptides act via receptor-mediated signaling pathways. In other words, they do not drive tissue growth. So steroids are man-made hormones introduced from outside the body. They override the body's natural system, take control of your body's hormone production, and they force anabolic growth. They push your body to grow faster than normal. They disrupt your natural hormone levels and directly change your own hormone balance. And they build muscle because they replace your natural hormones. Whereas peptides, as we saw, are your natural signaling molecules made up of amino acids your body already uses. They basically boost your own internal messages. They enhance the signals your body's already sending. They don't force growth. They support natural, healthy processes. And they support things, they postulate to support things like healing, recovery, as well as to be involved in anti-aging and cosmetic approaches.
Okay, so that is essentially the what a peptide is. Now can we try and understand what the most common uses are for peptides? What are people using them for right now?
So we've really got to say that some of the peptides are being used as FDA-approved medication for weight management. Others being used as what we call experimental research peptides for recovery and muscle growth. So the most prominent at the moment is the weight loss and metabolic health, and
Which
these are the GLP-1s.
I can
Okay?
testify to.
So that's your semaglutide, which mimics your GLP-1 hormone, and that reduces your appetite and slow digestion. Then you get your tirzepatide, which people know as Mounjaro. That acts on your GLP-1 receptor and your glucose-dependent insulin
So
protein
these
polypeptide.
different peptides.
These are peptides, but these are FDA-approved peptides.
But I'm just trying to understand. We always were told that what was the first one? Ozempic had one. Mounjaro has two.
So Ozempic works on one receptor, Mounjaro works on two receptors, and the latest one, retatrutide, works on three receptors.
So those are is it so does that mean they're different peptides?
So they are peptides. These
There
they are
are
peptides.
peptides.
They are GLP-1 receptor peptides that just work on different types of receptors, but they are all classed as weight loss and metabolic
I
peptides.
guess what I'm
They're
asking is,
GLP-1s,
are
so
they
they're not different.
different peptides?
No, they are different, but they're the same because they're all GLP-1s. The same as a car, or is it a car, a Volkswagen or a
There's just
BMW?
like a Ford, but they're different models underneath.
So
There's a
this is
Ford
like you're
Focus
going
and a
from your
Ford.
Ford to your Mercedes to your limousine.
Okay, got it. Got it.
Then the other thing where they're involved in is things like recovery and tissue repair. And these are very popular amongst athletes and biohackers for healing injuries and reducing inflammation. And there, your common ones are your BPC-157, which is body protection compound, which is often the anchor of your recovery stacks. And that's used for tendons, ligaments, and gut repair. Your TB-500, which is part of the thymusin beta 4. And that's frequently paired with BPC-157 to promote blood vessel formation and rapid tissue regeneration. And then you get your GHCU, which is your copper peptide, which is popular in skincare, collagen production, and as an injectable overall for overall tissue repair. You then get a third class, which is called your muscle growth and anti-aging peptides. Those are what you call your growth hormone secretagogues. They stimulate the body's natural production of growth hormone. So the most common ones there, the gold standard ones, are the ones called CJC1295 and epomorelin. And they are stacked together to increase lean muscle mass and improve sleep quality. You get tesamorelin, which is actually FDA approved for HIV lipodystrophy. That's for the fat loss people get when they get onto the HIV medication or with HIV virus. It's actually been approved for reducing abdominal fat in specific conditions. And then you get things like zimodulin, which is also an anti-aging growth hormone secretagogue. And then lastly, you get what we call the nootropic peptides. Those are involved in cognitive support. These have been marketed by the Russians. Okay, these are things like C-Max and C-Lank, and these are neuroactive peptides, which are often used for brain fog, mental clarity, stress
I want
resilience.
all of these. I feel like I need all of these.
Patience, young Jedi. Okay,
Okay, fine.
so just understand that
Yeah.
while the GLP-1s have clear medical pathways, many of the others are often sold as research chemicals, and you've got to be careful what you're taking, how you're taking, and when you're taking.
Okay, so that's what we're going to be talking about as well. They clearly are not all doing the same thing because you've just been through all of the differences
Correct.
between them.
And that's 100% because peptides, as you said, are short chains of amino acids that act as your specialized messengers in the body. Their function is only determined by their unique sequence of how many amino acids they've got and where they trigger different processes in the body. So the body naturally produces over 7,000 peptides to regulate essential functions. We have hormones and metabolism, as we said, insulin, oxytocin. You have immune defense, antimicrobial peptides, physical performance and growth hormone secretagogues, like we've just discussed, and even peptides for recovery and repair. So each one works differently. Some work for firming the skin and reducing wrinkles. Some work in aiding wounding and healing collagen synthesis. Others can prevent skin or structural loss. And others can even smooth expression lines, often called Botox line. So they do have very different types of actions. But the most important thing is quality matters. So pharmaceutical grade peptides need to meet strict purity and potency standards because many of the unregulated products found online could be contaminated or ineffective.
Okay, we will definitely come back to that. So the question obviously that I need to try and understand is are we what actually works? What actually works in terms of has this been, you always say to me things like, well, has this been peer reviewed and how big is the data sample,
Right.
etc. What's your
So
understanding
mine's a
here?
slippery slope because
Okay.
how do we understand it to have worked? So is it because the FDA has approved a medication that it's working, or is it because
It's safe.
it's safe that it's working, right? So these are largely unproven wellness trends that they're being used for. So what actually works is your GLP-1 receptors like your Ozempic and your Mounjaro, your drugs like insulin, your targeted skincare topical peptides, or probably like your copper peptides, and then your specialized care peptides like oxytocin, which is used to induce labor, as well as thymusin alpha, which is for immune support. So those are the ones that definitely are sanctioned by the FDA. Of note, I think on the 15th of April, the FDA has come out saying they are going to allow the compounding pharmacies to recompound 12 new compounds, which are the TB500, the body protection compound, and a host of all other things to add to the list, which are going to red flag by July to try and get back on as safe substances. So they are pushing them. The popular ones, which is obviously called the Wolverine stack, is your TB500 and your BC157. Now, they've shown promise in animal models for tendon and tissue repair, albeit that the human trial data is very low. Anecdotally, from my own experience using it on people I know, people that I love, and seeing it being used by other people, there's a big role for it if it's used safely and correctly to help people who've had surgical or current medical treatment to add to their treatment.
So it is an enhancer. It isn't treatment in of itself. It's
definitely not treatment.
Right.
It's an additive, enhancer, signal messenger that can help fuel the fire.
Right. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your weekly checkup with me and Dr. Anton Myberg. We're talking about peptides. It is a very, very interesting new area. We'll be back just after this to understand the hype versus the reality. Welcome back to the weekly checkup with me, Albert Feldman, and Dr. Anton Myberg, the talking peptides, 061-895-1019. This is a pre-record, but send in your questions and we will do what we can to get back to you. So if you have questions, send them through 061-895-1019 and we will try to answer them. We're talking about peptides, the hype now versus the reality. So are peptides a medical breakthrough? Or are they a wellness trend?
So I'm going to say both. Yeah. Established medical breakthrough and rapidly growing wellness trend. But you have to establish what's scientifically proven and what is hype. So to repeat ourselves, insulin, GLP-1 agonists, specialized treatment like peptides are also approved for osteoporosis, HIV, and advanced prostate cancer, peptides are approved for those. The wellness trend, which is an experimental gray market type picture, these are not typically considered as FDA approved, but they definitely involve in the wellness trend and they definitely are helping a majority of people whom they're safe to be using. So even though they're unapproved, these synthetic peptides help with performance, recovery, anti-aging, and despite them lacking large human scale trials, the availability and the benefit that people are seeing from using them in the right circumstances is massive.
Right. So it really is a tremendous, tremendous area of success. What are people getting wrong about peptides?
So because they've surged so much in popularity and they're everywhere, there are widespread misconceptions. And this is primarily driven by your social media influencers, booming gray market, untrained people who are not medical professionals who are giving them to people in gyms and to people on the side of the road, etc. Common misconceptions means natural is safe. So people often say that peptides are safe because they mimic substances found in the body, but lab-made synthetics can be imperfect if they're not made under SAHPRA guidelines, if they're not checked properly, because people can inject them at higher doses. And then the natural levels, they can trigger immune responses, massive anaphylaxis, emergency and need emergency admission. You need a trusted lab in this whole thing. When it says research only, it can have contaminants in it, like heavy metals, if you get it from somebody that's not getting it from a trusted or refuted source, as well as the fact that cheaper is not better. If the peptide is cheaper, you know that it's not a safe peptide because it hasn't been through all these rigmaroles. And they're not just super vitamins. So they're not...
So maybe that's the misconception, is that it's like a vitamin.
They're
so if I
magic.
Take more,
I'll
just pee them out.
Yeah.
So it's not a problem.
But they're not magic. They're not... Right. You know, they are powerful cellular modulators. We know that, okay? But they can throw out your entire hormonal system. It can put it out of balance. It can interfere with other medications. And it can theoretically accelerate the growth of undiagnosed tumors. You need clinical dosing standards. You need product integrity. You need to know exactly what to administer. You need to know who's people that is contraindicated in, and have to have those considerations. You need to know about metabolic conditions, pregnancy and lactation. And that's why I say you really need to be doctor driven with a doctor that's
that's
got a
to say,
lot
because
of experience in this type of practice.
So it shouldn't be, I mean, I don't want to insult anybody, but it shouldn't be trainers and health spas and this type of place that is handing out GLP-1s.
It shouldn't be dentists. It shouldn't be gym trainers. It shouldn't be cosmetic people. It should be trained medical doctors who understand the body as a whole and have done research into peptides that understand what dosages can cause problems, what can happen if you don't give refuted or safe medication to people, and how can it interact with other things.
So, you know what, I just want to share something, and it is something personal. As many of you know, I had a, you know, I'm a cage fighter, and I had a Krav Maga injury. Okay, I'm not a cage fighter, and I've hurt myself during my warm-up. And my knee still gives me issues. And I wanted, in fact, Dr. Anton Myberg, in studio with me, said that perhaps we should try, and I can't remember which stack it is, but you made me go for blood tests first to check what cancer markers, if I remember correctly.
Cancer markers.
And that was important. Why was that important? And I'm sharing it because I think it's of benefit to people to understand the seriousness with which you need to approach these things.
So I think that the importance of that is some of the peptides can cause a flurry of cancer growth. In other words, some of the peptides promote angiogenesis, which is new cell growth. Now, if you've got an active cancer in your body and you're taking this peptide, it will promote this cancer and make it grow much quicker. Not to say that every blood test can pick up every cancer,
of course,
or every mammogram or pap smear,
yeah,
but you need to know what you're dealing with as much as possible. It's, you need to have informed consent. In other words, people need to understand what they are taking, why they are taking it, are there risks, are there no risks, and they need to be seen properly so they can exclude metabolic or deficiencies. I mean, some people generally just have an anemia and they have a deficiency in iron, and that's what's causing all the problems. Doesn't mean they need peptides, but people with tendon injuries, ligament injuries, chronic pains, from these type of things do benefit if it's in the right circumstances.
Mm-hmm. So are we seeing misuse or overuse?
Hell yes.
Hell yes.
Hell yes. Right?
Okay.
There's a lot of peptides that are sold through unregulated online gray markets. There's unregulated sourcing. There's peptides that are used for aesthetics that don't come from places of safety. There's contamination. There's health complications. There's really big issues with giving medication that hasn't been sanctioned by SAHPRA. And so much so also that peptides such as your human growth secretagogues and your BPC-157, which is your body protection 157, are actually being abused by athletes to enhance their performance or speed up recovery. And these have been banned by the World Anti-Doping Agency, WADA. So my question has been, if they don't work, why does WADA ban them? Now, you can say because it's unregulated, it's not an FDA product. They're showing promise of working. That's why they've been banned.
It's so interesting that. Yeah, I think you can't have it. You can't have it both ways. So again, there's often this accusation of people looking for shortcuts.
Sure. It's the instant coffee generation. We want everything done now. We want it done straight away. And the biggest
misconception. I know, but I'm going to argue about that because people say to me all the time, you've lost so much weight. You know, are you just taking the injection? It's not just taking the injection.
Yeah.
It's a shortcut. It's an assistance, but it certainly hasn't been a shortcut, and it certainly doesn't come without the work.
So I think the biggest misconception is that it's instant coffee, that it works in 1 second.
Yeah.
It can take your peptides 2 to 4 to 6 weeks to start
kicking
showing
in.
Something or some sort of activity in your body in order to bring up those levels that the peptides need in your body for you to have that response.
Right.
So you're not going to take one injection and by the next day be a super athlete.
Right. I'm not even sure I would take a year's worth and be a super athlete. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your weekly checkup with me and Dr. Anton Myberg talking peptides. Let us have your questions, which we will get to when we can. This is a pre-record, so we can't answer them on the spot. But send them nevertheless on 061-895-1019. Welcome back to the weekly checkup with me and Dr. Anton Myberg. We're talking peptides, and we do want to talk about the safety and the risks of taking peptides. What are the real risks?
So, as we said, while peptides are often naturally occurring, the synthetic versions and unregulated supplements can carry high-level risks. And there could be impurity and mislabeling. Independent testing has found that some online products contain only 5 to 10% of the claimed active ingredient
Wow,
or include
it's like wasabi.
chemical compounds.
Like wasabi.
Yeah, it looks green, yeah. It could have toxic contaminants. Unregulated vials have been found to have arsenic, lead,
Oh my God.
bacterial endotoxins, which can trigger life-threatening septic shock. And then substandard manufacturing. Many products are labeled for research only, not for human consumption, meaning they're not produced under pharmaceutical grade conditions. And then you get the biological long-term risks, theoretical cancer risk, but we hold this very highly. Things like growth hormone related peptides like your CJC1295 or epomorelin and your BPC157 may stimulate cell growth or new blood vessel formation, as we said, angiogenesis, which could theoretically accelerate the growth of existing undetected tumors. You get an endocrine disruption. Peptides that mimic or stimulate hormone production can throw the natural systems out of balance, potentially into insulin resistance, diabetes, or even a condition called acromegaly, which is enlarged bones and organs. You can get immune reactions where the peptides can trigger dangerous immune reactions or autoimmune issues. And then you get the other things where you can get acute side effects from an administration risk from injection complications, where you can get, if people aren't trained on how to give an injection, they can get infections, abscesses, you can get systemic reactions where people report nausea and vomiting, organ stress where it places undue stress on the liver and kidneys. So you've got to be really careful what you're taking, when you're taking it, and from whom you're taking it.
Who should not be taking peptide?
So individuals with active cancer or a history of tumors should stay away from cancer, from the peptides. Pregnant or breastfeeding women, because there's insufficient research on how the peptide affects fetal development or lactation, stay away. Anybody under the age of 18, the peptide therapy is developed for adult physiology. The use in children or adolescents can interfere with their natural growth processes and hormonal development. People with liver or kidney disease, because these organs are responsible for filtering and metabolizing peptides, and poor organ function can lead to toxic buildup of peptides or place excessive stress on the system. And those with uncontrolled diabetes, certain peptides can impact insulin sensitivity and glucose regulation, and which can cause dangerous blood sugar fluctuations. Severe cardiovascular issues, peptides can affect blood flow, fluid retention, cause what we call edema, your vascular tone, which all may stress out the heart. And people with certain autoimmune disorders, because some peptides modulate immune signaling and they can worsen conditions like lupus or rheumatoid arthritis.
Okay, and in terms of the long-term effect, that's also a question that people keep asking is, well, do we know what the long-term effects are of these peptides?
So what we do know is that peptides are highly specific, acting as messengers to trigger processes like we said, tissue repair, insulin regulation, or hormone release. Short-term safety for healthy individuals, supplements like COSF, with long-term use being up to 6 to 9 months. Side effects of approved peptides, we have clear data on peptides like Ozempic, clear data on peptides like insulin or oxytocin. We know the GLP-1s can cause a gastroparesis, which is slowing down of the movement of food from the stomach, and in various cases, they can cause pancreatitis. We know that other peptides can lead to fluid retention. What we don't know is how it could inadvertently accelerate the growth of undiagnosed tumors. But we do know because these certain peptides cause this angiogenesis or this new cell growth, they can cause issues. So we know there's chronic endocrine disruption, immunogenicity. The lack of longitudinal data is still short, they're still doing short-term trials. So, we haven't got enough data to say what will happen in 5 to 10 years' time. But so far, as I say, and I'm going to repeat this, if you're using the right person under the right circumstances, the person's been completely, for lack of a word, vetted, because it's all animal studies, then that person is at lower risk of having long-term.
As if people around are buying them from safe sources. I mean, what are the regulations in South Africa? Is there a grey market for this?
So they consider unsafe by medical experts and regulatory bodies due to complete lack of oversight. So they might be sold in the grey market, but there's unregulation, so they can contain harmful bacteria, they can be contaminated. There's a definitive point of inaccurate dosing. There's unknown ingredients which go into them because they may be mislabeled or contain completely different compounds that's listed on the vial, and there can be severe side effects. And you really have to watch out for unusually low prices because extremely cheap products are often a sign of substandard manufacturing of these peptides or of diluted medication. And most importantly, a lack of a certificate of analysis from a third party for purity testing to verify the substance. I mean, if they don't have that, then you need to stay very far away from it. Medical oversight is extremely, extremely important because if you have a qualified healthcare practitioner prescribing the peptide therapy, then they can prescribe pharmaceutical grade versions from licensed compound pharmacies. And so much so that when I prescribe peptides, the pharmaceutical or the compounding pharmacy where I get them from, it can only be prescribed to a patient by a doctor, not for the patient going to the actual compounding place.
Right. Okay. When we come back, I want to talk about the real uses. And this is where it gets, I think, quite interesting. I mean, not that it isn't interesting, but I want to hear what we could possibly take peptides for, what proper supervision looks like. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your weekly checkup with me and Dr. Anton Meiberg. Welcome back to the weekly checkup. We are talking peptides. Dr. Anton Meiberg in a studio. He's done an enormous amount of research on peptides. And in fact, I was privileged to be at a talk at a webinar that he gave last week where, to a group of just under 2,000 doctors. And he went through some of the research. So just to get straight into it, who is a good candidate for peptide therapy, or is that too broad a question?
I think we could try and sort of open up a bit, but generally it's healthy adults who are seeking a targeted medical support for either an age-related decline or metabolic health or physical recovery. So individuals with age-related decline, adults typically in their 40s or 50s experiencing natural hormone decline, reduced energy, or visible signs of aging like thinning hair and skin, people who want metabolic and weight management, those who are struggling with obesity, insulin resistance or stubborn fat that has not responded to traditional diet and exercise. Note, not responded first, you don't just start the medication. Okay? Athletes and fitness enthusiasts, people who are seeking accelerated tissue repair, faster recovery from intense workouts or improved lean muscle mass, people with chronic injury or pain patients, individuals who recover from musculoskeletal strains or surgery or managing chronic inflammation and joint discomfort. Then, once again, we said cognitive support. People who are experiencing brain fog, memory loss, or fatigue associated with high stress or aging, and even women in menopause or perimenopause looking for non-hormonal or hormone complementary ways to manage symptoms like muscle loss and sleep disruption. So, ideal candidates already need to maintain foundational healthy habits like proper nutrition, regular exercise, and they need to use peptides to overcome plateaus. There needs to be medical oversight. Patients need to be willing to undergo laboratory testing and structured monitoring by a healthcare provider. And people need to understand what specific medical issues, such as diabetes or growth hormone deficiencies, these people need to be very aware of what they're taking. And then once again, we need to know who is not recommended for people with active cancer, organ impairment, people under the age of 18, autoimmune disorders, pregnancy or breastfeeding.
Okay, enough of the warnings. I want to know this now. I'm going to go through a list of things and a list of ailments or list of areas that I might want to improve, and tell me if there is a peptide that would work that you'd be able to use. Okay, are you ready?
Ready.
Are you ready for me? Here we go. Okay, weight loss.
The GLP-1s.
Okay, skin in terms of health of skin.
GHKCU, copper peptide.
Okay, and is that anti-aging as well?
It's got anti-aging effects.
Okay, I like it.
Immune modulating and decreases inflammation as well.
Okay, fine. What about muscle repair?
So that would be your BPC 157 and your TV 500 or your Wolverine stack.
Okay, performance in terms of sport in general.
MOTSI, SS31, NAD plus, BPC 157, thymosin beta or TV 500.
So there's a lot.
There's a lot.
There's a lot. What else? What am I leaving out?
Well, a very, very important one is for women who are on menopause or perimenopause with low libido due to these functions. There's a peptide which is actually FDA approved called PT141, which helps and has been shown to help with lower sexual drive and lower libido, and has been extensively studied and is extremely safe.
Okay, so I guess I mean, it sounds that there's a lot of names and there's a lot of background to it. How do we simplify it? You know, if I've got, I don't know, I've got high cholesterol, I go to my doctor and he says, we need to give you a medicine, we need to give you, let's try this and that, you know, and that's going, we'll prescribe it and it'll lower your cholesterol, hopefully. Here, there's a lot of names, there's a lot of confusion. Who do I go to? What process should somebody go through in order to get it? Let's just say it's about skin. Let's say it's important for me that my skin it looks good, and I think, you know, that's a value. I'm not suggesting, in fact, on the contrary. What do I do? Where
Okay,
do I
so
start?
you start with knowing that they're not magic and they're not something you
Yeah,
take
but I
and
don't
works.
hear any more of those
But you need to hear
things.
that. It's very
Okay,
important. Okay, we
fine.
need to put that down on the table. These things are not just a super drug that's going to change everything, but they definitely augment and they definitely help. So before you start peptide therapy, if you've got in your mind that you want your skin to be better or you've got a nagging chronic injury, or you want to lose weight, or you've got problems with your sleep,
I'm going to
or
do HYROX. I want to
well,
recover
then I think you
better.
need to a psychiatrist for
Psychiatrist.
that too,
Okay.
because that's just a
Okay.
different course. Yeah, but you need to start at baseline. So you go to a medical practitioner that understands what peptides are, what they do, so they can do a comprehensive medical evaluation to establish a baseline for your health. And ensure the treatment is safe for your specific biology. A lot of people who've come to see me who I've done the bloods on have had undiagnosed high blood pressure, undiagnosed cholesterol, undiagnosed thyroid issues, undiagnosed anemia. And you treat those first before you move on to peptides and you stabilize those conditions. That's very, very important. You do comprehensive blood paneling, you look at organ function, hormone levels, metabolic markers, as well as inflammatory markers and cancer screening. And then once you've got all of that back, and I always say in my female patients, I also like to have pap smears and mammograms because you like to have a comprehensive picture of what you're dealing with. I know of a colleague who had surgery and she then started peptides, and it was quite a while back. And a few months after that, was noted to have a lump in her breast. Now, at that stage, no one was doing mammograms, no one was looking for these things. Did the one lead to the other? We don't know. Could it potentially have led to it? Maybe. Would it have helped if you had a mammogram to exclude it? Definitely. But these are the type of things you've got to think about and know that. That's why I say it's informed consent, because you've got to know what can happen from certain things and why we do all these tests to make sure that it's considered safe for you.
But isn't that a barrier to entry? I mean, it feels to me
So I'm going to stop you there because it's
it feels to
luxury
me,
medicine, this.
yes, but it feels like I have to really sweat to get my peptide.
Yes, yeah.
So isn't there a danger that I'm going to go to my
You
trainer
know
and
what?
change?
Harry Sefton used to say, every patient needs to deserve an operation. You can't just have an operation.
No, but these are
But these are
peptides.
peptides. So
Yeah.
they're not just sweets. They're not just things you can get from your gym trainers. The point we're trying to make is, albeit that they are safe, they're only safe if it's done in a contained, destined environment where you can make sure that there aren't underlying things to cause issues.
So I want to say this, and it's a bit
Yeah.
controversial, and that's well, that's all right.
That's you.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
Is I know that you are very, very excited about peptides. I know
Very.
you are very excited.
Disclaimer, very excited.
But so, no, I'm saying this for a reason.
Yeah.
You're very cautious, but you are very, very excited. You've seen the benefits. You're using them a lot on patients and on people around. My concern is through this episode is that, and I understand it, that you've got to be very, very cautious, but I'm concerned that it's almost coming across as too cautious. And I'm saying that because I want to create, I want to find the balance, really,
That's very simple.
is what I'm getting at. I don't want people to think, oh my gosh, Dr. Marburg says it caused a lump. I know off mic how excited you are about peptides. So I'm trying to get that balance, to put that balance across to our
So
listeners.
what I'm trying to say, we need to be cautious, okay?
Yes.
The same way you get into a car and put your seatbelt on, by doing these tests, you're putting your seatbelt on. You're not going to drive in the car on the highway without a seatbelt on. So that's being cautious. This is being cautious. Make sure there's no underlying issues, and then you can use the medication much more safely with good
With
effects,
confidence,
with
yeah.
good effects, and know that they're going to work. I've used them in loved ones, and actually, disclaimer, I use them on myself at the moment, and they work extremely well, and they are really, really good. So I'm very pro the use of them, and I will say that actively. I use them on myself, so therefore, that's why I am pro the use of them, and I have extensive studies into how they work, why they work, when they work, how to dose, and so much so that there's a thing called peptide cycling, that you only use certain peptides for a certain number of weeks, because your body then becomes tolerant to that peptide, and you use it for more, it's not going to help with that area.
Okay, that's very, very interesting. Is this the new frontier of medicine?
Yes, there's no doubt. I think when we started our first podcast, we spoke about GLP-1s. And I said to you, this is the future of medicine. This is the way
Bigger,
we're
yes,
going.
so, yeah.
These signaling molecules, these cell messengers, they're only going to explode upwards. As I said, the FDA is doing massive studies going forward to July. Kennedy's pushing them. Trump's pushing them. Everyone's pushing them because they've got a benefit. WADA has banned them, whether you want to say it's for other reasons, they'd be banned. So, in other words, they enhance, they definitely work. This is the frontier. We've seen the benefits from GLP-1s. We've seen the benefits in certain prostate medications. We've seen the benefits in 100-year-old medications like insulin. We've seen the benefits in oxytocin, which are brand names, but they are still peptides. So, the future is
See, but
so
that's, I think,
bright
what we
here.
don't realize.
We've been using tesamorelin for HIV lipodystrophy for years. And only now we understand that it can help with decreasing the visceral fat, help with energy levels, help with all types of problems. But going forward, we're realizing that. Does there need to be adult trials? There definitely needs to be adult trials. There definitely be human trials. That will come as we move along.
Are we the last fat generation?
Definitely. There's no doubt we're going to be the last fat generation. We're probably going to be also the new scurvy generation of certain people who actually just take too much of the GLP-1s, don't eat at all. And that's a very important point I've really got to make. People who are taking GLP-1s think that when the GLP-1s stop them from an appetite, it's a good thing. It's not a good thing because you need to eat. You need to still have protein. You still need to have carbohydrates to fuel your body. If you don't, when you stop your GLP-1s, you will never be able to come off them because your body's not used to having that type of food. So then they become forever drugs. The other thing which is very important is that when you take your GLP-1, the day before you take it, hydrate with lots of fluids. And the morning you take it, hydrate with lots of fluids. So there's a big surface area for your body to absorb that amount of your GLP-1. And most importantly, most of the peptides that we're talking about now are injectable peptides. Because if you take the oral ones, they get broken down by the substrates in the stomach and don't get absorbed properly. So we're talking generally about the oral ones. There are nasal peptides, some like the Salank, which is the Russian, which can be used nasally for anxiety, that type of thing, which is said to work very well because it's got nootropic effects. But the majority of peptides are better working if they're taken subcutaneously, if they're injected.
I mean, obviously, I've heard a number of people saying that they're scared of injections.
So I think the GLP-1s are making people much more confident and much less scared. And
Yeah.
they don't really, they're very, very tiny
I
needles
can tell you,
that you
it
inject once a
really is
week.
so
You know,
nothing.
certain peptides you do 5 days a week, certain you do once a week, certain you do 3 times a week. It just depends on the peptide you're giving.
Right.
The benefits are dramatic.
Okay. So for you, this is the future of medicine. What do you, what do you, what would you like people to know about peptides? If they're leaving this weekly checkup with one thing,
Think more than one. I think,
okay. What are your top three things that people need to know?
so they are signaling molecules. Unlike your traditional drugs that attempt to overpower your body's symptoms, peptides act as messengers that tell your cells exactly what to do, such as producing more collagen, releasing growth hormones, or regulating your appetite. They have a biological blueprint. They've got short chains of 2 to 50 amino acids. Because they mimic your naturally occurring signals, they can trigger specific responses with remarkable precision. They have diverse roles. They aren't just for anti-aging. They aren't just for weight loss. They can go from insulin for diabetes to collagen to peptides for skin, for joint health. And then while the science behind the peptides is legitimate, we still are lacking large-scale human clinical trials, and we still need to wait for that. And more important than anything that I've mentioned the whole of tonight, safety and sourcing. Peptides purchased online as research chemicals or from gym trainers are often unregulated and may contain contaminants. You need to get it from a reputable compounding pharmacy that's SAHPRA regulated.
Final question. If somebody is curious, what are the next steps? What are the first steps?
So the first steps are to contact your medical practitioner that is involved in dispensing peptides.
Okay, simple as that. You heard it here. 061-895-1019. I suspect we'll be doing one of these again because it really is becoming a massive, massive area. Dr. Anton Marburg, thank you. As always, I'm Howard Feldman. This has been your weekly checkup with me and Dr. Anton Marburg.